read, first of all, from the 60th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. The future glory of Jerusalem. Arise, Jerusalem, and shine like the sun. The glory of the Lord is shining on you. Other nations will be covered by darkness, but on you the light of the Lord will shine. The brightness of his presence will be with you. Nations will be drawn to your light, and kings to the dawning of your new day. Look around you and see what is happening. Your people are gathering to come home. Your sons will come from far away. Your daughters will be carried like children. You will see this and be filled with joy. You will tremble with excitement. The wealth of the nations will be brought to you from across the seas. Their riches will come. Great caravans of camels will come from Midian and Ephah. They will come from Sheba bringing gold and incense. People will tell the good news of what the Lord has done. All the sheep of Kedar and Nebaioth will be brought to you as sacrifices and offered on the altar to please the Lord. The Lord will make his temple more glorious than ever. And turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, from verse 37, Jesus' words about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone the messengers God has sent you. How many times have I wanted to put my arms round all your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me? And so your temple will be abandoned and empty. From now on, I tell you, you will never see me again until you say, God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Let those who have ears to hear, hear what the scriptures say.
Once again, we join in prayer. So, Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake. In several conversations before last Thursday, my impression was that whatever the outcome of the election, what was lacking at that point was much sense of hope. Not much about hope in the future. In the recent campaign, there's been immense frustration with the continued uncertainty. Let's get Brexit done came over as a kind of a hope that is not really hope, that things will get better. We'll have to see. What the outcome has shown, I think, is that though trust remains low, lots of folk have put their hope in politics again. There's new hope for some, though not all, I warrant. What looks hopeful for some looks distinctly unhopeful for others. And I find myself thinking that it might be better if people stop putting their hope in politics altogether and in many other things, for that matter. Our world is full of sources of hope, isn't it? The National Lottery, the Postcode Lottery, all those smiling people on just about every housing estate in the country winning money, Brexit, summer holiday brochures in the depth of winter, Strictly Come Dancing, X Factor, beams and smiles round huge tables groaning with special food in the Marks and Spencers and Waitrose and Aldi advertisements for Christmas. New parliaments. Aren't most of those hopes false? Not many people win millions. Brexit won't easily or completely be done in a short time. Summer holidays only last a couple of weeks. Tourist destinations are packed, and volcanoes don't always follow visitor schedules. Fame is fickle. Christmas is a source of tension, often as much as tinsel. Human, earthly sources of hope are a mix that are at best a good thing and that often disappoint. Advent, though, is all about hope. It calls us to look for hope outside the sources of hope on earth. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I quite like the old Authorized Version translation. Kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. That's the Advent hope. God in our hearts and in the world. An end to the darkness that blights human living. The hope of eternity. The hope by which we are called to live. But remember the difference between the ancient hope of Jerusalem. We heard it in Isaiah 60. Look what happened to the ancient hope in the story of Jesus. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. And the ancient hope, no more than a glimpse, really, of Bethlehem. Jerusalem standing for all the politics of the world, with its frailties and its falsehoods. Standing for all the cities of the world, with their crime and loneliness and pollution and violence. Jerusalem standing for all the hope of the world. A fractured hope that often fails to inspire and lift and change and save, that often begins high but ends low. The wise men came to Jerusalem, came looking for the king. Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? They came to Jerusalem because that's where they expected to find good news about God. The ancient hope, kings shall come to the brightness of your dawn, a city set on a hill, and all the nations shall stream to it. All roads lead to Jerusalem, indeed. Except when Herod asked his scribes where the king was to be born, they told him, you can imagine them, can't you, cowering on the floor, don't shoot the messenger. in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Bethlehem, standing for all the forgotten people and places, the out of the way, the unimportant, the nothing in the eyes of the world people, the humble, the poor. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds heard from the angels and said, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass." The worldly wise men followed all the roads of the world to Jerusalem. The shepherds heard from the angel, from God, that his good news would happen in Bethlehem. See? The Advent hope lies not in Jerusalem, not amongst all the cities of the world and its politics, but in Bethlehem, foretold in ancient prophecy, the city of David, the shepherd king, an out-of-the-way, scruffy place in the days of Jesus, had become the very center of God's plans for the world. That's the Advent hope. That's where we're called to look, not to Jerusalem, but to Bethlehem. That's where your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's where kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. That's where one day everyone and anyone who puts their hope in the things of earth will have to come. What is it says in Philippians? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow before Christ the Lord. That's when everyone will have to turn from the road to Jerusalem to the road to Bethlehem, and in Advent and always live in hope and live by faith in this false hope world. Whatever happens in politics in the coming weeks, months, and years, however hopeful you feel after Thursday, however unhopeful you feel after Thursday. And by the way, at the end of everything, at the end of Revelation, when Jesus returns, that's the Advent hope as well, John says, "I saw the new," not Bethlehem, "the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven." After Bethlehem, after a baby born, a life of service, a sacrifice, a death, Jesus rises and lives forever. And we are called to live in this political, hopeful, hopeless world by faith, on the road to Bethlehem, to see now the things of earth become the things of heaven. On the road to Bethlehem, to hope now that all things will be reconciled to God. On the road to Bethlehem, to live now believing that all roads lead to Jerusalem after all. The new Jerusalem, when the kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdom of the Lord.